may mention this also. She probably don't want me to say this, but Sister Ada Thaxter is going to be leaving us, as most of us perhaps know, for a while to continue some service in the military, and we want to bid her Godspeed. So let's keep her in our prayers that God will be with her and that will bring her back safely unto us. I believe she's going to be maybe in and out of town a little bit, but mostly she's just going to be gone most of the time. But beginning next year, over in next year, she's going to be gone out of the country, and we'll be back, Lord's will, in December. So that's going to be a little while. We're going to miss you, Ada. But let's keep her in our prayers. I want this morning to talk about one of the miracles that occurred in the life of Jesus. Matthew chapter 8 records for us several miracles that Jesus performed. You recall chapter 7 ended with the sermon, what we call it, the Sermon on the Mount. And the Bible says that people were astonished at his sayings because he spake as one having authority. And then when we get into chapter 8, we begin to see some more astonishing things that Jesus does in the life of people. That is, in the performing of miracles. And again, the Bible teaches us in John chapter 20 and verse 30 and 31 that these miracles were done that people might believe that he was the Christ, and believing they might have life through his name. Chapter 8 begins with Jesus healing a leper, the first four verses. And then verses 5 through 15 gives the account of him healing a centurion's servant. And then verses 14 and 15 covers his healing or restoring to health Peter's mother-in-law. And then verses 16 and 17 talks about there were many that were possessed with devils, and he healed them. Verses 23 through 27 reports the miracle of his calming the raging sea. And the disciples would say, "What manner of man this is, that even the winds obey him." The last miracle that takes place in chapter 8 is the one that I want to deal with this morning. And I want to draw a lesson from it for our encouragement, for our admonition, and for our exhortation. And it has to do with two that were possessed with demons or with devils. And the title of my lesson, as you see in the bulletin this morning, is living with the hogs rather than Jesus. I drew that from the last verse in the chapter. And let me just share it in reading. The Bible says in verse number 34, this is after, as we'll talk about in just a bit, these demons were driven out into the herd of swine, and they ran violently down the steep slope, and they were drowned in the sea. And the book says that the people that were taking care of these swine ran into the city, and they told the people what had happened. And the people, the Bible says in here, in this verse, "And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they besought him," or begged him, "that he would depart out of their coast." Wouldn't it be so nice if that verse had read like this? "And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they begged him not to depart out of their coast. That would have been a wonderful verse to read. But this verse has a bit of sadness in it. That after what had happened, the people came and said to Jesus, "You need to get out of town. You need to get out of town." And so as we look at this story this morning, the story of this miracle this morning, again, this story describes a notable event in the life of Christ in which he delivers or heals two men who were possessed with devils. And after they had been freed from these devils, as I just said, it was reported to the people of the city that they had been healed. And instead of the people coming out and rejoicing with these men that had been freed from the devils, they asked Jesus to leave their city. How sad it is then when men are more concerned about hope and having Jesus in their midst. Though it's not mentioned in the text, can't you just imagine the relief and the joy that these men must have experienced being freed of the devils? One would think that these people would have rejoiced along with them, but as we've said, this was not the case. They were not able to see the big picture of what had just happened, and chose to focus on the loss of the hogs. No doubt, perhaps, the owners of the hogs lived in the city, and they would have suffered some financial loss. Unfortunately, that's the case with many people today. They focus on what they lose materially, rather than what they can gain spiritually with Jesus in their life. Jesus wants to make our lives better. But in order for him to make our lives better, we must receive him into our lives and must not be like these people of the city, begging him to leave us alone. Jesus wants to help us. He wants to save us, yes. But he wants us to have and enjoy a good life while we are on our way to that eternal destination. But many people don't want to have anything to do with Jesus. They'd rather live with the hogs than to live with Jesus in their life. Notice some things, some points that I want to share from the story this morning that we have read about these two men that were possessed, the Bible says, with devils. Going back to the very first verse that was read, verse 28. "And when he was come," and I'm reading from the King James Version, "and when he was come to the other side, into the country of the Gadarenes," as the other translation that was up there, but the King James says, "the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way." Can you imagine these ferocious men that were possessed with these devils, that was so fierce and was just wrapped up so much with these demons until nobody could pass that way? Why? Because it is no doubt that these men perhaps would even attack them with such viciousness. And so nobody would pass by them because they were possessed with these devils. The devil had taken over their lives. And so the first thing that I want to mention from the story this morning is that the devil will destroy you if he takes over your life. Don't let the devil be the master of your life. Remember last week I talked about whose master you're going to serve. The devil wants to destroy us. The devil wants to hold us captive, just as he was holding these two men captive. So much so until the Bible says they were exceeding fierce. so that no man might pass by that way. The devil's mission is to totally destroy us. Jesus said it like this in John chapter 10 and verse number 10. Jesus says, "The thief cometh not but that he may steal and kill and destroy. But he says, I'm come that you might have life, and that you might have it," the Bible says, "more abundantly," or "have it abundantly," as the translation on the screen reads. Jesus wants us to have a good life. Jesus doesn't want us to be held captive by the thief, and that's the devil that he's talking about, because even if it is the physical thief, it's the devil in the physical thief that's doing all the stealing. So it's the devil. The devil is behind it all. The devil wants to, again, kill us. He wants to destroy us. But Jesus wants us to enjoy a great life. And I tell you something about this thief, about this devil. This devil is always on the job. He's always looking for somebody to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Go back to the book of Job, if you will, in Job chapter 1, in verse number 6 and 7. The Bible says this: "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them." Now pause there just for a moment. You notice what that scripture says? That there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and who else was with them? The devil or Satan. So don't think just because you're at church that the devil just may not be here also. Matter of fact, the devil don't want us to be here. The devil want us to just forget about coming to church. The devil want us to forget about serving God. The devil want us to forget about doing anything that's good. The devil want us to forget about praying. The devil want us to forget about studying our Bibles. The devil want us to forget about encouraging one another. The devil want us to do anything that's opposite to what God wants us to do. So the sons of God came together to present themselves, the Bible says. And guess what? The devil was there also. But then the question was asked. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Whence comest thou?" Where did you come from? He says, "From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." Where was the devil? He's always on the prowl. And he's looking for somebody to destroy. He's looking for somebody to possess. He's looking for somebody to capture. He's looking for somebody to allow him to be their master. So we need to remember that the devil will destroy you if you allow him to. That's his mission. That's his job. But you know what? We must stay strong in our faith and fight against him. We cannot allow him to overtake us. We cannot allow him to overpower us. How can we do that? Well, James gives us the answer. James chapter 4, verse number 7 and 8. James says this by inspiration. He says, "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." James says, if we want to really fight against this devil, that we need to be on God's side. We need to draw near to God, and we need to keep on resisting the devil. And you do that having on the whole armor of God. Don't try to go to war without having your armor on. Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 13. Paul says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the strength or the power of his might." And then he says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the tricks or the devices of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Yes, brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors, this morning, the devil is out to destroy us. He had these two men captive that were living in the tombs and were so fierce, so vicious, until nobody dared pass near these men. Can't you see what the devil will do to us? Yeah, and that's why folks act so crazy, because they allow the devil to control their lives. The devil wants to kill us. He wants to destroy us. He wants to take us away from God. But then there's another point of the story that I don't want us to understand. When we look back at the verse again, chapter 8, verse 29, as well as verse 31, the Bible says, "And behold, they cried out, saying, What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time?" Verse 31, "So the devils besought him, saying, If thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of the swine." I wonder why did the devils make that statement. If you cast us out, here's what we want you to do with us. Because the devil knows who Jesus is. And the devil knows the power that Jesus has. And the devil really knows that he doesn't have it, that he's is not any match for Jesus. Even though he tries, and he knows he cannot win against Jesus. And so he says to Jesus, that is the devils, "If you cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of the swine." Why do you know, why do you think the devil knows exactly who Jesus is? It's because the devil was once in heaven where Jesus was and where Jesus is now. The devil was once there. And so he knew, as an angel, he knew the power that Jesus had. The Bible says this concerning the devil. In Revelation chapter 12, and you can also read in Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 through 14, he's called Lucifer there. And the Bible talks about him falling from heaven. But in Revelation chapter 12, verses 7 through 9, this is what the Bible says. "And there was war in heaven, Michael and his angels going forth to war with the dragon. And the dragon warred and his angels. And the Bible says, and they prevailed not. Neither was their place found anymore in heaven." And the next passage says this, "And the great dragon, which is cast down, the old serpent, he that is called" who? "The devil and Satan, the deceiver," the Bible says, "of the whole world, he was cast down to the earth." Satan came from heaven. So he knows all the power that Jesus has. He knew exactly who Jesus was. So that's why he would make such a statement, I believe, like that, that if you cast us out, in essence, he's saying, we know you got the power to cast us out because we know who you are. So if you going to cast us out, here's what we want you to do. We want you to cast us or suffer us to go into these swine. Yes, Jesus knows, or rather the devil knows who Jesus is. Even though the devil knew who Jesus is and was in the wilderness when he was being tempted of the devil, he still tried to get Jesus to yield or to bow down to his temptations. But he was no match for Jesus there, because every time he would offer Jesus a temptation, Jesus would always come back. "But it is written, it is written, it is written." So the devil knew he was no match for Jesus, but he still would try to steal and try to destroy Jesus. He still would try to steal and destroy us, but he can only do it if we let him. Don't allow Jesus then. Again, going back to point one, don't allow Jesus to take over our lives. Let's stay with God. Let's stay near to God. Let's keep on resisting the devil. And the Bible says he resists the devil, he'll flee from you. So oftentimes the reason why we have so much trouble in our lives with evil and with sin is because we don't resist it. And if we don't resist it, it's going to stick right to us. It's going to stay right with us, and it's going to take over our lives. So I say to us, stay with God. Because the devil knows those who are committed to Christ, but he's going to try to get them anyway. That's why, again, he came in with those sons of God in the book of Job. He knew the sons of God were committed to God, but the devil says, I'm going in here anyway. I'm going to try to distract them. I'm going to try to get their mind off of God. The devil is trying to keep our mind off of God even now. Yes, indeed, we must stay with God. So he is out there looking, seeking whom he may devour. That's why Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 8, Peter says it like this. He says, be sober, be watchful, be vigilant, be observant, be aware. He said, because your adversary, and your adversary is anybody that is against you. Your adversary is never your friend. Your adversary is your enemy. So he says, your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, he walketh about, seeketh, continuing to seek whom he may devour. So I say to us again this morning, we need to be aware of the devil. We need to be sober, and we need to be alert at all times. Because he has some things that he'll throw at us. And if we are not on our guard, he'll catch us in his net. We ought to be assured then that the Lord will rescue us if we stay with the Lord. Remember that he has all kinds of schemes. He has all kinds of devices that he will use against us. That's why Paul would say in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 11, wow, this is in the context of forgiving a brother who has sinned. But the point of the matter is, when he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, chapter 2, rather than verse number 11, he says, that no advantage may be gained over us by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his devices. In other words, he says, we understand, we know that he has some devices. So we need to know, we better know, that Satan has some devices that he'll use against us. Therefore, then, we need to stay close to God so that we'll be able to resist the devil. So again, the devil will take over our lives if we allow him, just as he has had taken over these two men that were in the tombs. The devil knows who Jesus is and the power that Jesus has, and he knows he has no match for Jesus. But then, thirdly, the third and final point, it's going to take me a little while to get through this point, so don't close your mind on me right now. The third point is that in spite of his destructive power, some would still rather have him than have Jesus. And that comes out of that last verse in the chapter. Again, the verse says, and behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they besought him that he would not depart from their borders. Can't you see what the devil is doing to these two men? That they have to live in the tombs, that they are fierce, they are violent men, and nobody can even get close to them? Can't you see the effect, the damaging effect that the devil has on these men? Why aren't you glad that they are free of the devil? No, you're looking at what you've lost materially. You're looking at the hogs. And notice the Bible says it was a herd of many swine. It wasn't just two or three hogs. It was a whole lot of hogs. So, again, it is apparent, no doubt, that the owners of these hogs lived in the city. And so they had their mind on what they were losing materially rather than what they could gain spiritually with Christ in their lives. They rather live with the hogs than to live with Jesus. The majority of folks today, they don't want Jesus with them. The majority of the folks today, they want the hogs. Because, see, when you live with the hogs, you can do what you want to do. You can eat. If you want to eat, you can root. If you want to root. Young folks don't know what rooting is all about. You can do any kind of, you can eat garbage. You can eat all kinds of stuff. You can do whatever you want to do when you live with the hogs. Jesus said this again. We used this scripture last week in our lesson. Matthew chapter 11, chapter 7, rather verses 13 and 14, where he talked about the broad way and the wide gate and the straight and the narrow way. And he says, in the broad way, many are going to go that way. You see, the hogs are in the broad way. Many folks are satisfied with doing their own thing. But just a few folks are satisfied with doing what the Lord wants them to do. So I say to us again this morning, take Jesus, make Jesus your choice. But the reason why so many folks don't want Jesus in their life, because to have Jesus in your life, it demands that you got to live a changed life. And that's what so many folks don't want to do. They don't want to change from living the way they have been living. They've been shacking up. They want to keep on shacking up. They've been committing adultery and fornication. They want to keep on doing that. They've been drinking the strong stuff. They want to keep on doing that. They've been smoking the funny cigarettes. They want to keep on doing that. They've been lying. They want to keep on doing that. They've been cheating. They want to keep on doing that. Jesus demands that a change be made in our lives. They'd rather live with the hogs than to live with Jesus. So I say to us again today that we need to draw nigh to God. You see, this changed life demands that a new man must be put on. Look at what Colossians chapter 3, verse 8 through 14 says. He says, but now ye also put off all these anger. Some folks just want to live with anger. Put off wrath. Put off, he says, malice. Put off railing, shameful speaking out of your mouth. Put all of that stuff off, he says. Those are not the kind of clothes that you need to dress yourself in. And then he says, lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. And then he says in the next passage, and have put on the who? New man that is being renewed unto knowledge after the image of him that created him. Aren't we supposed to conform to the image of God's Son? Romans 8 and verse 29 tells us that we are to conform to the image of Christ. So he says that we need to put on that new man that is being renewed unto the knowledge after the image of him that created him. And the next passage says this. Well, there cannot be who? Greek and Jew. Circumcision and uncircumcision. Barbarian, Scythian, bondman, freeman. But Christ is all and in all. The next passage says this. Put on therefore as God's elect, holy and beloved, a heart of compassion, kindness, lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another. Put it up with some stuff. You know, we got to put up with some stuff. Forgiving one another. Some folks have a problem with forgiving one another. Any man have a complaint against any, even as the Lord forgave you, so also do ye. And that ought to be incentive enough for us to forgive folks, isn't it? Because the Lord forgave us. We ought to be willing to forgive others. And verse number 14 says this, and above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. Love is the glue that gets us right with God. The reason why folks are not right with God is because they don't have that glue. They don't have that love. So to have Jesus, it demands a changed life. Without this transformation, we will miss the eternal blessings that Jesus can give us. These people of the city missed out on the wonderful spiritual blessings that they could have from him Nebraska. They just had begged him to stay there. But instead of begging him to stay there, they begged him to leave the city. Get out of our town. As that old Western show says, get out of town. Get out of Dodge. Some folks don't want Jesus sticking around in their life. The men of the city, again, they chose the hogs over Jesus. Again, as we've said, perhaps this meant a loss of income for some. But you know, some jobs aren't worth having. Some jobs will take all your time away from the Lord. Some jobs will take too much of your time away from your family. Some jobs will take too much of your time away from studying the Word of God. Some friends, some associates, not worth having. They'll lead you in the wrong direction. You see, the ways of the world, again, keeps us with the hogs, not with Jesus. You don't think the ways of the world will keep you with the hogs. Just act what we call the prodigal son. He'll tell you that the ways of the world got me in the hog pen. Luke chapter 15, verses 13 through 18. Put that down and read it for your study this afternoon. But the Bible says that he took all his living when the father gave it to him, and he went away into a far country, and he wasted all of his substance or his living in riotous living. That's worldly living. And you know where that worldly living got him? Into the hog pen. He ran out all of his money, ran out of his friends, ran out of his food, and the Bible says he was ready to go there and eat slop with the hogs. But then it came to him. My father, back home, he got bread enough to spare. Thank God he came to himself. So I say to you this morning, if you're living with the hogs, doing your own thing, think about your father back home. He's got everything that you need. You need to go back to him. Don't continue to live with the hogs. Choose this morning to live with Jesus. Lastly, as I close this time, churches that are not found in the Bible are not worth having. Because in these institutions that are established by men, they are set up on men's principles, on men's doctrines, and these things will lead you away from the Lord. Jesus said it like this in Matthew 15, verses 7 through 9. He said this, "You hypocrites, well did Isaiah the prophet prophesy of you, saying, these people draw nigh, rather honor me with their lips. They draw nigh to me with their hearts, but their hearts are far from me." And then that last verse, it says, "In vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." The commandments of men will lead you away from the truth. Titus 1 and verse 14 says that commandments of men will lead you away from the truth. Why is it so important to stay with the truth? Because the truth is what will save you. The truth is what will make you free. Jesus said in John 8:32, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So churches not found in the Bible are not worth having. They're based upon the principles and the doctrines and the precepts of men. The psalmist said in the long old Psalm 127 and verse 1, "Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it." But Jesus says, if you choose to stay with it, that he's not going to force you to turn them loose. He's not going to force you to let the hogs go. You got to let the hogs go on your own. Matthew chapter 15, verses 13 through 14, Jesus says this. The Bible says, "But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone, he says, they are blind guides. And if the blind guide the blind, both shall fall into the ditch." You don't want to fall into the ditch. So therefore, turn loose from the hogs. Stay with Jesus. Because again, the devils will take you over if you allow him to. But the devil knows the power of Jesus. They know he's no match for Jesus. The only way he can win over him is to win over you or win over me. And The only way he can do that is by our allowing him to be our master. I say to you this morning, stay with God. Draw nigh to God. Resist the devil, and the devil will flee from you. And no matter how much you may think you may lose materially or socially or economically, or how much popularity you think you may lose, if you stay with Jesus, it's worth more than all of that combined. These men of the city got upset because the hogs drowned it. And they didn't want Jesus to stay in their city any longer. They chose to live with the hogs rather than Jesus. I want to tell you this morning as I close that Jesus is the best thing we got going. He's the best thing that you could ever have, because without him, you can do nothing. So don't be like the people of the city. They asked Jesus to leave. But without Jesus, brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors, we don't have a hope. There is no hope without Jesus. I choose to stay with Jesus. What about you? And if you have not allowed Jesus to come into your life and be your